And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Lute Olson was way more than just a Hall of Fame basketball coach. Of course, winning on the court built a pride for Wildcat basketball off the court that became ingrained into our city's culture and identity. Tucsonans from all sides of town jumped onto the bandwagon and adopted the university just as passionate as alumni. We were all wild about our Cats. Wildcat players became one of us. From hometown hero Sean Elliott,
Elliot's here, it's time to play.
They want me in the NBA.
To Steve Kerr.
Give Kerr the ball, give Kerr a hand. I'll drill it in from three-point land.
Others followed, including Damon Stoudemire, Miles Simon, Mike Bibby, Jason Terry, Luke Walton, Richard Jefferson, Joseph Blair, Eugene Edgerson, and on and on. Mikhail Center sold out every year. Tickets became the hottest commodity in town. Luke chalked up 589 wins to 189 losses, guided the Wildcats to 23 straight NCAA tournaments and four Final Fours, highlighted by a national championship in 1997. Lute Olson took all of Tucson and the state of Arizona along for the ride. Sadly, our legendary coach passed away on August 27th at the age of 85. His legacy will forever extend beyond the court. Let's discuss Lute's legacy through the eyes of how local sports journalist Steve Rivera sees it. Good morning and welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. My goal is to give voice to Hispanics by bringing diversity into the conversation. I'll also talk local politics, music, food, art, and culture, and give voice to Hispanics through the lens of how Hispanics see everyday life in Tucson. My guest today is local sports journalist Steve Rivera. As a reporter at the Tucson Citizen, he covered Arizona men's basketball for more than 25 years, most recently for FoxSportsArizona.com and GoAZCats.com. Rivera has covered 17 Final Fours, including all four that Lute Olson's Arizona Wildcats played in. Today, Rivera has a radio sports talk show called Eye on the Ball and partners with another former newspaper sports writer, Jay Gonzalez, as his co-host.
Steve Rivera, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Great to be with you, Steve. Excited to talk to you.
I should mention to our listeners, your sports show, Eye on the Ball, used to air right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice, but you have now moved on to another station, Fox Sports. We still have nothing but love for you. Just kind of, sort of, just a little bit of love.
I need all the love I can get, but I love that KVOI took a chance on me and allowed me to do it for 20 months, and I moved on. But the people at KVOI have been great.
Well, we are proud of you, man.
Thank you very much.
I should also mention that, and you should be honored by this, a lot of people in the community mistake me for you. However, they do say I'm much better looking, but they're like, you know, Steve Rivera. And I'm like, no, that's the other Mexican.
That's very funny because I get the same comment from certain people all the time. You're Steve. Yeah, I'm Steve. No, you're Steve. That other guy. I said, no, I know who you're talking about. No, I'm not him. And I would debate the good-looking part of it. I think I'm better-looking.
I really don't think that's much of a debate, but here's what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk Arizona basketball and the loss of legendary coach Lute Olson. What is your most memorable story you can tell us about Lou?
Wow, there's been so many. Yeah, I wrote about it over the weekend, a lot of them. But my most memorable, after all these years, was obviously winning the national title. But this is one that I think is heartfelt. If everyone remembers, Bobby Olson passed in 2000, the New Year's Day, in fact, and Lou took some time off. We weren't sure how long he'd take his time off, maybe a month, maybe two, who knew, a couple weeks, whatever. And that was the year that they were very good. They had one of the best teams in the country. So one day I was at the U of A just luckily thinking that maybe he's going to come back today. Well, he did come back. It was 2 weeks after her passing and after the ceremonies, and he happened to be in the locker room. I looked in. There's a small window you can look in, and there he was, getting ready for the practice. And I'm thinking, wow, should I knock? Should I check? Should I do? Well, I knocked on the door. He opened the door, and I said, could I talk to you? And he says, come on in, Steve. I had already been with him close to 10 years covering the team. He let me in, and we sat there for about 30 minutes, and he kind of spilled his guts. It was very emotional about Bobby, obviously. Who didn't love Bobby more than him? So he talked about her, why he came back. His family pushed it just to keep him busy. And that was kind of a moment you don't get to see because he was very emotional. And it was like talking to your grandfather about the love of his life.
I always considered Bobbi Olson the First Lady of Tucson. And at her memorial, all three television stations covered the same event. But it was so emotional because she was just a class act. Like Lute, she was like the matriarch behind everything that he did for Tucson and capturing all of the hearts of Tucson. Would you agree?
No question. He was, I said this in the story, that I think that he was, or she was, his best recruit. If he was a point guard guy, she was the point guard. Because she did a lot of the back behind-the-scenes stuff in terms of vetting good guys and bad guys. She would tell Lute, I'm not too sure about this guy or that guy, because she was kind of the go-between between Lute and the players, in addition to Jim Ross, where, you know, sometimes they couldn't get to Lute in terms of him being the stoic coach. They talked to her, and she would say, don't worry, I'll pass along the information.
What was your most memorable moment as a sports journalist in covering Lute? For you personally, like through the eyes of how you saw things?
Well, there's been a lot of, obviously, in my time, I covered him 17 consecutive years from 1991 to his retirement. The one, obviously, is winning the national title. And it was another Bobbi story. I know this is not sports-minded, but they won the title. They won the title after beating, you know, Kansas and Kentucky and North Carolina, all the blue bloods of the country.
All the number one rated teams.
Seeds, all the number one seeds. Yes, no other team has done it before or since. But here's another one of those heartfelt stories. So after the game, people demanded his time. It was probably maybe 2 hours after the fact. We were looking at maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. He hadn't gone to the hotel yet. He was still in the RCA Dome doing his last interview. And Bobbi was about maybe 20 yards away. I think she was with George Khalil, if I can remember correctly. And they were talking, and I was kind of waiting for Lute too. And he catches Bobbi. He says, hey, babe, I'm going to be right there. And she really quickly says, hey, Lute, I waited for you for 40 years. I think I can wait a few more minutes. And that was just kind of how they felt about each other. And without victories like that, because she was always waiting for him, on the road or wherever. And that was just that thing. It went beyond basketball, which, of course, is great for me because I got to tell those type of stories. And basketball was just basketball. And in those games I covered, he went 399 in 98.
We'll get into more about Lute Olson and how he meant more to this community than just basketball in just a moment. But since his passing, you've talked to some of his former players. What are they saying and paying tribute to him? Which player and which quote stands out to you right now?
Wow, there's been so many. In fact, I had to do another story this week about him. Steve Kerr, obviously, talking about him and how he helped him get through tough times. We all know the relationship with that. Corey Williams talked about him coming back after being gone for so long and coming back to work out in the gym, and Lute being upset with him because he hadn't gone to say hello to him yet after working out, you know, because the players become good friends after they're gone in the program. There's a fine line of being a player and a good friend while you're coaching them, but once you're gone, you're kind of a kid. You're like the favorite son to him. And he had a lot of favorite sons. So it was just kind of that, you know, love relationship that he had with guys. So there's not one specific, because I reached out to Bibby, Damon, all these guys, and they have this special, he was a great guy to me, he was a father figure to me.
But did one actually break down and show emotion over his passing?
I got the quote from Ben Davis, and I won't say, he was a quick quote because he kind of didn't know what to say the night of his passing, and I haven't talked to him much since, but I saw his clips on TV recently, and we had the Lute Olson camp about 2-3 years ago. Every player had 2 minutes to talk about Lute. 2 minutes. Ben Davis took 15 minutes. We couldn't get him off the stage. How Lute saved him, how he loved Lute. He thought the world of Lute, and that was Ben. And when you saw him on TV recently, he broke down, and I understood exactly what he was saying because he had done that 3-4 years ago when he was saying how much he loved Lute and how much he appreciated him helping him become a man.
Well, Ben Davis was a JUCO transfer.
Correct. One of the best JUCO transfers Lute ever had.
And Lute Olson basically gave him a second chance at not only his basketball career, but life.
No question. He did that to a lot of kids who the thing was, Luke did some great recruiting for good guys. Let me say that. Rarely did he have a bad apple in the group. You knew who the bad apples were and they were gone. But he saved a lot of people because basketball was their vehicle. And Ben was one of them. But Ben was a good guy, too. Basketball was a means to an end, and they did a great job. They turned this program into what it is today.
When we return, I'll continue my conversation with Steve Rivera, a sports journalist who covered Arizona basketball for more than 25 years. We'll continue to pay tribute to Lute Olson, Arizona's legendary Hall of Fame basketball coach who sadly passed away at the age of 85. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by Native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. During Lute Olson's tenure, Arizona claimed 11 conference championships. The Hall of Fame coach led the Wildcats to 20 consecutive 20-win seasons. Tucsonans from all sides of town jumped onto the bandwagon and adopted the university just as passionate as alumni. Lute Olson passed away on August 27th at the age of 85, but his legacy and the life lessons he taught his players will forever extend beyond the court. One such former player is Ben Davis, the 1996 All-Pac-10 power forward. When asked about the impact Lute had on his life, Davis broke down, overcome with emotion.
I love Coach Olson. I thought it was important to do this and let people know how genuinely love him.
That was former Wildcat Ben Davis. Let's continue our conversation, remembering Lute Olson, with local sports journalist Steve Rivera. As a reporter at the Tucson Citizen, he covered Arizona basketball under Lute Olson for more than 25 years, including the Wildcats' four Final Fours and national championship in 1997.
Storm victory for Arizona. Simon Says championship.
Do you agree Lute did not get enough credit for putting the Pac-10 at the time before it became the Pac-12 conference back on the map in college basketball?
Yeah, well, UCLA was there forever, obviously, under Wooden. But
yes.
when Arizona took over in the program, maybe 1985, 86, it became the best program in the West after that. You know, UCLA had its moment in 95, I think, is when they won the title. But Arizona was the best team in the conference and the West since, what, maybe 20 years? Does he get enough credit? Probably not overall. But let me tell you something. When people see the A in the East, and obviously in the West, they know what school they're facing and what fans traveled. Arizona fans traveled very well. Did Lute get enough credit? Probably not. But he also put Arizona on the map, so he got some, but maybe not enough.
I remember the A used to be confused with Auburn or Alabama. But when you see the A today, everyone knows it's the University of Arizona.
Yeah, no question. The A has a big backing. You know, it's a huge deal everywhere. Obviously, in Tucson for sure, but in basketball parlance, it is the A. You know, you remember? Oh, Damon played there, right? Damon Stoudamire, Khalid Reeves, Miles Simon. Oh yeah, Mike Bibby. All these guys. You know who played there when you watch the games.
Obviously, over the years and all the time that you covered the University of Arizona basketball team, you attended a lot of practices. What was Lute like in practice, in the locker room, and behind the scenes?
Yeah, we got to watch practices maybe for the first 10 years of my career there. Then he shut it down. But it was very fundamental, very structured, to the minute. He always had his little white notes that he would take with him. and go by the book. I mean, from first practice to the last practice before games, it was very structured, very fundamental, very good. If you want to learn how to coach basketball, you should stay in a session with him, and you would know. That's why he was great at teaching other coaches how to coach, because it was all about structure. The locker room scene wasn't that accessible outside of post-game interviews. The one thing I told Lute maybe 2 years ago when we were doing some of our stuff, I said, Lute, I want to thank you very much, because what he did was he allowed his kids to grow up. And by that I mean that he allowed them to talk to the media. He had total access to the kids, open locker room. And it's not surprising that you have commentators like Richard Jefferson, you have Corey Williams, you have Matt Muehlbach, you have Sean Elliott. In the media doing what they do, because they were so used to talking to the media, they became these guys.
I remember in covering the University of Arizona basketball team, every now and then I got a chance to cover sports as a reporter. And when you look back, you're right. Access to players was practically unlimited. Today is just so structured to the point where they only allow maybe one or two players. But I agree with you on that. Lute prepared these guys to face the media, but to learn how to speak publicly and to build that confidence.
No question. When you're given a nice room to roam, and the kids took advantage of it, they did great. Miles speaks well. Jason Terry does a lot of TV, things like that. Steve Kerr obviously did a lot of TNT before he became the Golden State Warriors coach. Tolbert, all these guys, like you said, Sean Elliott. There's so many. You could list so many. There's been so many. And it gives them confidence to do what they do post-career.
When Bobby died, the community mourned big time. There was a public memorial service held at McHale Center to honor her life. Obviously, due to COVID, a public memorial service will not allow the community to gather inside McHale to pay tribute to Lute. Even if we have to wait a year, should we as a community come together to pay proper respects to Olson at some point later in time?
I hope that's a rhetorical question, because you're exactly right. I think eventually that will happen. How could you not? Heck, the Tucson Airport Authority should think, hey, Lute Olson Airport. They should think a lot of things. He put Arizona on the map. If it was not on the map before, it definitely was after him. So I definitely agree with you on that. Something should happen. I'm sure that it will at some point when we're all back to normal.
You just mentioned they should rename the airport Lute Olson. What about McHale Center?
Uh-oh.
Should it be renamed Lute Olson Arena?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Yes, that's a good question, but I don't think that's going to happen. He has the court already, him and Bobby.
Of course.
McHale kind of started this whole thing way back in the day.
I agree with you on that. But don't you think at some point, or don't you think that we should at least consider that? Or the University of Arizona should consider renaming McHale Center Lute Olson Arena?
You could consider it. I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, that's the first I've heard of it, but I think you can think about it, but it's not going to happen. McHale Center is McHale Center.
Have you been to Lute's statue and the memorial site, which is now outside of McHale Center? How emotional is it? What are you seeing from the fans who are stopping by to drop off memorabilia, flowers, balloons? Describe this scene to me.
Yeah, I was there earlier this week and did a TV segment there. People were coming in, not staying a whole heck of a long time, because you go and you drop off your stuff, you stay a little while, and then you leave. But the stuff that they're bringing is tremendous. Old memorabilia from back in the day when he first started in 83 to today, and in between Final Fours in 88, 94. Some great stuff. I'm surprised you haven't left your scarf over there. There may already be one, sorry to say, Steve. but everybody bringing a lot of trinkets, a lot of trinks and best wishes, and we loved you, and thanks for being who you were for this city and for this school.
I'm pretty sure my scarf is going to end up there. The other night I was looking for my scarf, and I think it walked away, as you always accuse it of doing. But I will say this. I will not be surprised if all of that memorabilia that everyone is leaving at his statue is going to be collected and kind of like enshrined in one of the hall cases at McHale Center, right?
Could be at the Hall of Champions. There's too much stuff, the flowers and things like that, but they could save a few things in honoring of him, because obviously he meant so much to so many people.
We continue with Remembering Lute Olson. Steve Kerr was recruited to Arizona by Lute Olson in 1983. He was not the most highly recruited player coming into college, but under Olson, he developed into one of the top guards in the country. He credits Olson for all of the success he has achieved. In reacting to Olson's passing, Kerr tweeted, quote, "It's hard to put into words how much Lute Olson meant to me. He was an amazing coach and a wonderful man. Being part of the U of A basketball family changed my life forever. I will never forget Coach O, those awesome nights at McHale, and all my teammates. Thank you, Coach. I love you." End quote. Today, Kerr is an 8-time NBA champion, having won 5 titles as a player, as well as 3 with the Golden State Warriors as a head coach. When we come back, we'll continue with remembering Lute Olson. He was more than just a Hall of Fame basketball coach. He was a Tucson icon, an educator, a motivator, and a father figure and mentor to his players. Rest in peace, Lute Olson. Tucson's Hispanic Voices. A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
We continue remembering Lute Olson. His impact on the basketball court immediately built a pride for Wildcat basketball off the court. Arizona basketball became ingrained into our city's culture and identity. Tucsonans from all sides of town, especially Hispanics, embraced the Wildcats. The love and passion for the Wildcats no longer belonged to alumni only. W-I-L-D, Cats. We were all wild about our Cats. And the players became one of us, household names, starting with hometown hero Sean Elliott.
Elliott's here, it's time to play.
They want me in the NBA.
And Steve Kerr.
Give Kerr the ball, give Kerr a hand. I'll drill it in from 3-point land.
McHale Center sold out every year after that. Lute Olson took all of Tucson and the state of Arizona along for the ride, eventually winning the national championship in 1997.
It's a milestone victory for Arizona. Simon Says championship.
Those were the golden years of Arizona basketball. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Under Lute Olson, 32 Arizona players were NBA draft picks, including 14 first-round draft picks led by Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr. Others included Mike Bibby, Jason Terry, Richard Jefferson, Gilbert Arenas, Luke Walton, Andre Iguodala, and Channing Frye. Let's continue our conversation with Steve Rivera. As a sports journalist for the Tucson Citizen, he covered Arizona basketball for more than 25 years, including the Wildcats National Championship in 1997. What made Lute Olson a great recruiter? I mean, he had a knack for luring top players to Tucson, especially early on when no one wanted to come to Tucson. But do you agree it was more than just that? The players seemed to embrace Tucson and become one of us? And that's kind of what he looked for, right?
Yeah, no question. I thought he, back in the day in 83, 84, you remember he got Pete Williams, who I consider the cornerstone of the whole program. He got Pete, one of those hardworking, underachiever, undersized guys. Then he got Craig McMillan, his first McDonald's All-American. And then by chance, he sees Sean Elliott in his backyard and he gets him, and the rest is history. I think part of his big charm, he was a success wherever he went. Southern California, obviously Long Beach State. Then he went to Iowa, did a tremendous job. If you think Arizona fans loved Lute, Iowa fans love Lute beyond, because they almost didn't let him live properly. Go to a restaurant, would swarm him, all these things. It's one of the reasons why he came to Arizona. But in recruiting, here's this 6'4", dapper guy, this good-looking guy. The moms loved him, of the recruits. In the house, you know, ooh, look at this guy. He had his rings, his championship rings. Very, very, not intimidating, but very impressive. I always write this regal and towering presence. You know, when he had the ring in 97 and he'd go recruit, he'd kind of tap it on the table to get noticed, like he needed to be noticed, right? But he got some great guys. The one thing, too, is he got some very good players. But he didn't get a lot of 5-stars. He got some 4-stars. And what he did was he turned them into great players and into great team players, because individuals don't win titles. Teams do.
He seemed to mesh his players really well together, where they all liked each other and they all knew their responsibility and knew what they were good at. And that's really what he exploited and exposed from them, because it always seemed like there was some players that, you know, they just knew their role. And it was just so amazing to watch.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at 88, when that kind of magic first started, everybody knew their role. It was a fun bunch. They beat teams badly and enjoyed every moment of it. Steve and Craig. And it was just a chemistry and a symmetry that was just fun to watch. And that kind of kicked it off. And then 94, before that, 94, they had the Twin Towers, were three towers, actually. Ed Stokes, Brian Williams, and Sean Rooks. That didn't go as well as he had hoped. So he went small with Dame Reggie and Khalid, Joseph Blair, Ray Oates, and got to the Final Four. A great season that was. And then 3 years later, he's winning the title with a bunch of guys who, it was a, kind of like a project, because you didn't expect 97 to be that year. You expected 98 to be that year. Mike Bibby, Miles Simon, Jason Terry, Michael Dickerson, guys who weren't taller than 6'5". And then with A.J. Bramlett and Bennett Davison. I mean, who would have thought this?
Yeah, of all the great talent that he had, I mean, you could project at least 3 or 4 national titles, but that 97 team just had the chemistry and they all liked each other and they just meshed really well on the court.
Talks about timing and getting hot at the right time, being happy to play together, knowing roles, just a fantastic 3-week stretch for Arizona.
Lute Olson's impact on Tucson. What was it like witnessing, capturing, and reporting on that moment in time when all of Tucson, from all sides of town, embraced the Wildcats wholeheartedly, and it didn't matter if you were an alumni or not? And I think that's what made Tucson so special, is that you had the alumni, but you had everyone just embracing the Wildcats, sporting Wildcat gear, and it didn't matter if they went to the U of A or graduated from the U of A. Everyone in Tucson was bleeding red and blue. What was that like, witnessing all of that?
Yeah, no question. Every corner of the city wanted to get tickets, wanted to be inside, wanted to be part of it. After the 97 year, who didn't have a national championship shirt or a hat or whatever? His impact was tremendous, and it continued through 98, because if you remember, 98, that was the best team in the country to start the year and for most of the year, until that one Saturday afternoon when they played Utah in March. But it was a joyride that lasted, what, almost a year? Unbelievable time. And he was the center guy. He was the stage of what set. I mean, who did know Lute? If he would have ran for mayor, heck, if he would have ran for mayor 3 years ago, he still would have won.
Do you remember when every corner around the University of Arizona during March Madness had a makeshift shirt stand? And every year we would cover how the Wildcat t-shirts were going like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Did you get your scarf there? Because I knew you were going to ask that question even before you asked it, because every place in the corner, yeah, of course, we saw them everywhere. And who didn't have a shirt? I'm sure, I think probably I have one or two somewhere tucked away, folded up somewhere, but everybody has theirs, and some people never wore them. They just bought them and never wore them. But no question.
I have a couple of T-shirts that I've never worn that are tucked away, and I just want to save forever.
Yeah, I would bet 2-1 that you cannot fit into them, too.
No, that's a Steve Rivera. That's not Steve Nunez.
I couldn't either. Let me tell you something. I'm not proud to be a lot heavier than I was 20 years ago.
What was it like for you as a young Hispanic sports journalist covering Lute and the Arizona Wildcats during their heyday? Did you ever have that moment where you just stopped in your tracks, reflected on the moment, and said, wow, look at me?
I did it all the time. Here, this skinny kid from Santa Fe, New Mexico, who had just kind of arrived into Tucson, had been a few places before, but I was a skinny little kid from Tucson, from Santa Fe, and out here I was covering Lute after 3 years of covering Dick Tomey, and it was a blast. Oftentimes, I was covering some of the biggest events in the country, center stage, and I did. You know, it's funny because no one really knew me. I was not from Tucson. I didn't write from here until then, and a lot of the Hispanic community kind of embraced me. Because of my last name, you probably don't think I understand or speak Spanish, but I do. But it was fun. It was a great ride, and they still do. You know, a lot of the older Hispanics come up to me and say, aren't you Steve Nunez? No, I'm Steve Rivera.
Lucky you.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll continue with Remembering Lute Olson. I'll ask Steve Rivera if he thinks there will ever be another coach at Arizona like Lute Olson. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Remembering Lute Olson. Overall, former Wildcat players have earned over a combined $1 billion playing professionally in the NBA. Let's continue our conversation with Steve Rivera. As a sports journalist for the Tucson Citizen, he covered Arizona basketball for more than 25 years, including the Wildcats National Championship in 1997.
What do you think will go down as Lute Olson's legacy, what he did on the court or the impact he had on his players, and as they say, turning them into men and preparing them for life after basketball? Exactly what you mentioned earlier, turning them into men.
Depends who you ask. I think if you ask the players, it'll be about turning them into players and players that like each other. You know, we have the Lute Olson Fantasy Camp, and we bring eras from all the stages of his career here, and they all love each other, all get along. They enjoy the company of each other because they're part of a big family. And it's the Lute Olson family. It's also the University of Arizona family. But I think his legacy is one of winning and eventually bringing Tucson, Arizona, the U of A, a national title. Let me say, you win at the stage or at the consistency that he did, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you're very good at what you do.
Collectively, his players who have been drafted into the NBA, 32 I think in all, have earned over $1 billion. Do you think that helps keep the camaraderie? Do you think that helps? Because so many are so successful today, not only in basketball or in broadcasting or coaching, but just in life.
Yeah, no question. Success breeds success. You see other guys who wear the A or have worn the A. You see them at NBA games, and people go to the games. Hey, can I get a picture? Or I'm talking about fans now, but the players, you know, Steve Kerr coaches a lot of the guys, Iguodala. He has some guys on the staff from there, Luke. It's all one big fraternity. And when they get together, and in fact, this week they had a big photo of a get-together they had maybe 10 years ago, 7 years ago, where it was a ton of talent. I would take that talent over a lot of college teams any day.
Yeah, I think some of the teams from the 90s, even that 88 team, would beat a lot of teams today. They were just so good, in my opinion.
Right.
As journalists, the people we interview, the people who we are in contact with a lot, obviously have an impact on our lives. Even though we are covering, let's say, just the Arizona Wildcats, and we're covering them objectively, still, the people are subjects. We become friends with them. We get to know them. We get to understand them. But there are always a few, and let's just be honest, Lute Olson is one of the few, that have an impact on us professionally and personally. We talked about this earlier on how you said because of coming to Tucson, covering the Arizona Wildcats and Lute Olson's success and their winning, it really brought out the fact that you were a reporter covering that, and it basically launched your sports journalism career in many ways because you said because of the winning program, people read your articles, and it made you kind of a household name and elevated you in the same respect as the program was being elevated. Have you just looked back to say, wow, there's even more things that I learned from Lute Olson, just kind of similar to what he taught his players on the court?
Yeah. It's funny. You know, one of my attorney friends, who actually is my attorney, said I've been covering this too long because I kind of start feeling I'm one of them. And one of them is kind of having that attitude of being not an athlete, but just kind of have the attitude of an athlete. Like, you know, you're confident, you feel confidence in what you do. So I think he did that with me because you had to be. If you were on Lute covering him, you had to stand your ground when you had tough questions. You had to be fair. I think one of the reasons why he liked me while I covered him was I was fair, or at least tried to be fair. Maybe sometimes to the fair of being fair to him rather than to the readers, but I needed to be fair. That's what we do. That's what we get paid to do, to be fair and telling the story. So that's one of the reasons why he liked me. I did have to ask some tough questions sometimes, or a couple times he did get into my face for a couple things he did not like. But I think it helped us grow as a guy who I covered and a guy who he kind of respected in the world of journalism. You know, you kind of grow up. You have no choice but growing up when you're covering Lute. So I think that was one of the things, too. And I was 25 years old when I started. So it kind of taught me of how to be professional and how to be fair.
I'll share a story with you. I was an intern in 92 at KGA 9. Arizona lost to Santa Clara in the first round of the NCAA tournament against Steve Nash.
Yes.
Arizona came back. We caught up to Lute in the hallway just outside of the locker room. And I was with a photographer and I got a chance to play reporter. That was my goal, was to be a sports reporter. And I asked Lute, do you regret not making adjustments and running the ball against Santa Clara? Oh my goodness. I got the look of death. And that was Lute Olson. I know, you know, later on in life, we attended events together and everything, and it was great, and he was the nicest person ever. But at that moment, whew, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, a lot of journalists got the look of death a few times.
What was the question you asked that warranted the look of death from Lute?
Oh, it was not so much a question. It was more of I did a story that he didn't appreciate in terms of timing. 1996, Joseph Blair had become ineligible, academically ineligible. I did the story on that, and so did my colleague. So he called both of us aside, and he ripped into us about the story. It's something we had to do, and then he got into me pretty heavily, and I kind of stood up to him. My colleague would agree with that. And after maybe a minute or two, it seemed like an hour, he says, I said, well, Lute, I had to do this. It's my job. It's what I do. Blah, blah, blah. He stopped. He turned around. And he said, I understand, and he walked away.
When you came to the Tucson Citizen, was that your first job or your second job?
Yeah, no, good question. I grew up in Santa Fe. I had been interns all over the country, actually the Daily Star in 85, Phoenix Paper in 86. I was in the Dallas Morning News in 87. Then I left there after my internship and came here. So this was my first big job. Then I started covering Dick Tomey then. But it was huge for me. I mean, this young kid, 22, 23 years old, doing this, taking over the beat at 25. I was able to write five books because of covering Lute, with a chance to do more. a number of magazines nationally. Come on, I could not have dreamt this to be any better. I covered some 17-18 Final Fours, some NBA titles. I traveled around with the Chicago Bulls when Steve Kerr and Jed Bushler and Brian Williams were on the team in 97. Sean Elliott in San Antonio when he won it in 2001 with Steve Kerr. You don't get these opportunities. I mean, it was fantastic. Stuff that my 12-year-old Steve back in the day, I would tell, this is going to happen to you. I'd say, I'll take it any day.
Will there ever be another coach like Lute Olson at Arizona?
In what sense?
In every sense of the word.
Hard to say, Steve. It's hard to say. You don't see many like him. In fact, Sean is trying to duplicate. It's hard to be the guy who follows the guy. And Sean is finding how difficult it is to do that. And you're always going to be compared. I do not know. It's going to take someone who's very strong. And Sean's trying. But if it's not Sean, guess what? There'll be somebody else after Sean. And after that guy, there'll be somebody else. So Arizona had a great time under Lute. It's kind of cut lightning in a bottle, not just once, but for a number of years. That doesn't happen too many places.
All right, before we go, I have a rapid-fire questions I'd like to ask you about being a Tucsonan. Obviously, you're not a native Tucsonan, but you've been adopted as one. As a sports journalist covering the Arizona Wildcats for all of the years that you've covered them, are you ready for these rapid-fire
questions? I am ready.
Are you sure? And you're gonna answer all of them.
Okay,
I'm gonna put you on the hot seat a little bit.
Are they long questions or are they quick answers? What are they? Quick answers?
Or you can explain if you want to, but they're tough. All right. If you had to pick a coach to lead the Wildcats today, Lute Olson or Sean Miller?
Well, you got to go with the guy who got you there, don't you? With all due respect to Sean, I mean, you're picking Lute. Apples to apples, you're picking Lute.
All right, good answer. I'm shocked that you actually answered that question. All right, which former Wildcat had a bigger impact on the basketball program, Sean Elliott or Miles Simon?
Oh, it's not even a question. Sean Elliott.
Miles Simon guided the Wildcats to the 1997 championship. I really thought you were going to say Miles Simon.
No. Sean Elliott is the favorite son of the Tucson community and U of A. He brought you to the first Final Four in 88. Without Sean Elliott, this program is nothing to what it is today.
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. All right, when you sport Wildcat gear, because you do sometimes, which color do you sport the most, red or blue?
No, I don't. I really don't. I can't even remember the last time or the first time I've ever.
Is that just because you're still covering them?
Yes. Well, I'm not a grad. I'm not a U of A grad. I have no fight in the dance, if that's a dog in the fight or whatever. It's very rare, and I can't remember the last time I wore a U of A anything affiliated with U of A. I've always been impartial or tried to be narrow, right to down the middle, so no one can accuse me of being mean or favored the team. That's a question I can answer, but I can honestly say there's no picture of it. I know because I haven't worn.
The scarf is on its way.
The scarf, so I could wear it?
Yep.
Oh, please wash it. Two cycles, please. Two cycles.
All right. After all these years of covering the University of Arizona, sing Bear Down for us.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. Bear Down, Arizona. That's all I know.
What are honestly, you doing when the fans are singing Bear Down, especially during football games or basketball games or any sporting event? What are you doing? How do you not know Bear Down?
I barely paid attention to you right now. What are you talking about?
Steve Rivera, as a sports journalist who's covered Arizona basketball for more than 25 years, including the national championship in 1997, I just want to say, man, thank you for sharing your story, your experience in covering the Wildcats, and more importantly, Lute Olson.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be with you. A lot of fun.
You're always welcome on this show. And good luck with your new sports talk radio show, Eye on the Ball, now on Fox Sports. And Jay Gonzalez is a good pick for you. Good co-host.
Great. We're going to have a fun time. We hope to have a fun time at least. Thanks a bunch, Steve.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
In 2007, Olson took an indefinite leave of absence for what he called a medical condition that was not life-threatening. He missed the entire season. Olson then returned to coaching his Wildcats in 2008, but then retired 6 months later. In 2019, Olson suffered a minor stroke. Olson then passed away last month on August 27th at the age of 85. Olsen was more than just a legendary Hall of Fame basketball coach. He was a Tucson icon, an educator, a mentor, father figure who helped his players achieve success in life off the court. Former Wildcat player Ben Davis, who played for Olsen in the mid-90s, broke down with emotion over Olsen's passing.
I love Coach Olsen. I thought it was important to do this and let people know I genuinely love him.
A tribute of just how much Coach O meant to his players. Rest in peace, Lute Olsen. Tucson's Hispanic Voices. A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo. Tune in to Tucson's Hispanic Voices Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.